Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY23 earnings conference call of EKR Energy Services Limited, hosted by Edelweiss Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Swarnim Maheshwari from Edelweiss Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Rutuja. Hi, on behalf of Edelweiss, I welcome you all on EKR Energy Q1 FY23 results conference call. From the management today, we have with us Mr. Manish Dhabkara, Chairman and Managing Director, and Mr. Mohit Agrawal, Chief Financial Officer. I would hand over the call to Mr. Manish for his opening remarks, and post which we'll have a Q&A session. Over to you, sir. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Swarnim. Good evening, everyone. I hope you and your families are healthy and safe, and I pray for their well-being. I welcome you all for our quarter one financial year 2022-23 earnings conference call. Before I provide an update on our business and performance, I would like to express my gratitude to all our stakeholders for being part of this growth journey. I am joined on the call today by Chief Financial Officer at EKR Energy Services Limited, Mr. Mohit Agrawal, and our investor relationship partner, Orient Capital. I hope everybody who has joined us today had a chance to go through detailed financial result, investor presentation, and press release on the BSE, as well as our company website. At the outset, I am pleased to announce that the company has successfully completed migration from BSE SMA platform to BSE main board. Further, in our journey to grow and create value for our stakeholders, company has issued bonus shares in the ratio of  1:3, three shares for every one share held. Coming back to our business, I'm proud of the performance that our team has achieved during last quarter. Now, EKI reported another set of strongly quarterly results with top line growth of 162.8%, EBITDA growth of 199.1%, and PAT growth of 199.7%. Globally, the economy is getting impacted due to rising inflation, and there are fears of recession driven by geopolitical uncertainty. Further, Europe is currently facing energy crisis and rising gas prices arising from the Russia-Ukraine war. Despite this, company has performed well in quarter one. On the business front, I'm happy to announce that GHG Reduction Technologies Private Limited, a subsidiary company of EKI Energy Services Limited, has started manufacturing of improved cook stoves at Nashik in the state of Maharashtra on 4th April 2022. This plant has an existing manufacturing capacity of 1.2 million cook stoves per year, with plans to increase up to 5 million cook stoves in the phased manner. In order to grow our international presence, as well as expand EKI's brand recognition, we have incorporated a wholly owned subsidiary in Singapore called as Enking International Pte. Limited, which is the operations are still to be started. To continue contributing to the society, we have also incorporated a wholly owned subsidiary under Section 8 of the Companies Act, called as Enking International Foundation, a not-for-profit organization to promote CSR, corporate social responsibility, with the following key objectives: to promote and facilitate improvement of climate change and rural and urban development with social development. Our joint venture company with Shell in overseas investment BV Netherlands, Amrit Nature Solutions Private Limited, is now operational, and the company is on track to onboard one to two projects from this quarter. Although we do have a good number of consulting contracts which we are executing, but the projects are starting from zero stage. Some one to two projects are they are in the final stages of getting into the contracts. our target to contribute 1 billion carbon credits in next 5 years will play a significant role to meet the world's requirement of potential 20 billion carbon credits per annum to enable temperature capping of 1.5 degrees centigrade under the Paris Agreement, with an urgent and critical measure to save the planet. The outlook for our business is looking brighter as our Honorable Prime Minister, Mr. Narendra Modi, will launch a regulation on domestic carbon market as India aims to achieve net zero emissions country by year 2070. Carbon credits have proven to be one of the most effective drivers of reducing emissions and offering low-cost emission reductions. Carbon market will enable India to participate effectively in the interlinked global carbon markets. We at DKI are looking forward to such developments so that we can strengthen our reach in India to consult companies in different sectors who are looking to achieve net zero emissions and potential compliance on them to reduce emissions to domestic carbon markets. Domestic carbon market is expected to be similar to the international carbon credit market. And since EKI is working in the global carbon markets for the last 13 years, we are very well positioned with these new business opportunities. Similarly, domestic carbon markets, which includes compliance sector and voluntary sector establishment, is expected at various developed and developing nations in next 1 to 3 years timeline. Further, Article 6.2 and Article 6.4 carbon markets, which comes under Article 6 of the Paris Agreement, those two market opportunities will get more clarity over establishment during the COP27, that means Conference of Parties Meeting number 27, which is going to held in Egypt during this end of this calendar year, that means November 22. Present international voluntary market, as per the public report titled A Blueprint for Scaling Voluntary Carbon Market to Meet the Climate Challenges challenge prepared by the Task Force on Scaling Voluntary Carbon Market, sponsored by Institute of International Finance with knowledge partner from McKinsey, estimates that the demand for carbon credit could increase by a factor of 15 or more by year 2030, by a factor of 200 by year 2050, specifically for the international voluntary carbon markets. So overall, the market for carbon credit would work upward in the range of 50 to 100 billion by year 2030. To conclude, I would like to reiterate that we will continue to remain disciplined and maintain prudent financial practices while we aim to execute our strategic growth initiatives. Now I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Mohit for financial updates. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Manishji, Swarni, and Rutuja. Good evening, everyone. Let me brief you on the financial highlights for quarter one of financial year 23. In quarter one financial year 23, our standalone revenue increased by 162.8%, that is 508 crores compared to the same quarter last year. For quarter one, our standalone EBITDA stood at 142.9 crores and EBITDA margin stood at 28.1%. Quarter one standalone PAT stood at 106.9 crore and PAT margin stood at 21.1%. This is all from my side. We can now open the floor for question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Mohit Kumar from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, sir, and congratulations on a very, very good set of numbers. So my first question is, what is the carbon credit market inventory with us right now, and which can be sold in the near future, And is an expiry of these carbon credits due to the new climate Paris Agreement, in the sense, do they expire at some point of time? And has the European crisis affected you in any ways? Yeah.
So can you please repeat your first question?
Okay. So what is the carbon credit market inventory with us right now? And is there any expiry to this carbon credit, you know?
So we are working for various different kind of carbon credit commodity originated from the programs like Clean Development Mechanism or Verified Carbon Standard or Gold Standard or Global Carbon Council or International Renewable Certificates. So these are the 5-6 standards with which we work globally. And in any standard, specifically if you see for the CBM, VCS, Gold Standard, DCC, there is no any expiry timelines after a specific time period, the carbon credits are no more eligible to get traded. So such kind of no guidelines used to be there in our carbon markets. While in case of international renewable certificates, there is no any timeline. But the buyers for IREX, they used to like to buy the credits which are 12 to 18 months old. If the older credits are there, then the acceptability in the international renewable certificate market is used to reduce. Although we have negligible inventory of such kind of credits, while the credits which we do have in CDM, VCS, GS, and GCC, there is no any problem related to the expiry. And related to the Russia-Ukraine war, yes, the prices has gone super high. Energy prices has gone super high in the energy sector there at European Union. While usually if you see during quarter four and quarter one, if you see the past trend of last 5 to 6 years, the major buying used to happen at the end of the calendar year or financial year there at European Union or USA, for example, or the developed economies. So quarter three and quarter four to bring very high momentum as per the calendar year in those economies. So we do foresee that the prices hike that were happened because of the high gas prices specifically, for example. So we do foresee that high demand would be there during quarter three and quarter four of this calendar year.
My second question is, where to see what is your scope in the national carbon credit markets whenever it gets implemented? If you have to crystal gaze, I know that the information is sketchy at this point of time, but how big is the market you think it can be in terms of, you know, million ton carbon dioxide, if you can?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you see, like India is positioned as the third largest greenhouse gas emitter in the global emission, in the global GHG emissions. So if you, the domestic carbon market, so there would be five different markets that would be there in next 1 to 3 years timeline. So the first one will be the domestic compliance market. Second one would be the domestic voluntary market, and that would be India originated or India specific only. The third thing would be the international voluntary market, under which we work very heavily. So as of now, the majority of the credits that we are developing will get consumed under the international voluntary carbon markets. Then again, two more markets are upcoming: Article 6.2 market under Article, and the second one is the Article 6.4 carbon market that comes under Article 6 of the Paris Agreement. So there, for any seller, there will be five different options that would be there in next 1 to 3 years timeline, and that position would not be there in India, but globally that would do happen. Like China had also started its China emission trading scheme, South Korea, South Africa, and various other developing nations like Indonesia, Thailand, Philippines or many nations there at LATAM and Africa, they are planning to start such kind of domestic emission trading scheme. So for any nation to meet the target that they have declared through signing of national determined contribution to meet the Paris Agreement target, it is very important for any nation to implement emission trading scheme as compared to the carbon tax mechanism. So India, since it's a third largest emitter in the global GHG emission industry, so definitely India and China specifically, if you see, so first one is China, second one is US, and third one is India. All these three nations are planning to have their own emission trading scheme in the near future. China had already started in India as per Energy Conservation Act 2001. So that Energy Conservation Act 2001 is going to get amended to become Energy Conservation Act on 2022. And so various production sector, various emission sectors specifically, so those sectors will get the capping over the emissions that they are doing, and then again similar to other emission trading schemes, India would also be having its own emission trading scheme in near future. So obviously for us, there would be high opportunity to provide the similar consulting services which we are providing globally. We will do provide locally or nationally. So that is a very big opportunity for ECI to work, because if you see the number of companies which are there in India under different sectors, very high emitting sectors are also there. So all those companies then would be requiring to do GHG accounting. Then they will be getting the cap over the emission. So that means they need to go for energy efficient technologies, renewable energy projects, or ultimately buy carbon credits, either generated locally or through international voluntary markets or through Article 6.2 or 6.4 markets. So that means there will be a very big opportunity not only in India, but in all three nations, India, China, and United States.
Understood, sir. Thank you and all the best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vetri Raju, an equity analyst. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. Thanks for the elaborate explanation on how the Indian carbon markets will work. See, already we see that the European carbon credit market is much more buoyant in terms of, you know, the price discovered for one carbon credit is far higher than what is there in the United States. So likewise, India being a developing economy, maybe there will be volumes, but the price discovery may be very low, isn't it? Like as we already know that our company's per carbon credit prices, which we realize, is far lower than even what is traded in the United States price discovery. Any comments on that?
Yeah, so globally we do have only two very successful emission trading systems. One is located there at Europe and another one is there at South Korea. While in USA, the emission trading schemes are at the nascent stage. At the European Union, the rates for each carbon credit are ranging in between nearly $100. And similarly, around 25 to 35 USD is the rate which is going there, which is happening there at South Korea emission trading scheme. So it's very clear. Depending on how this emission trading scheme will get formulated or established by Government of India, that means the Bureau of Energy Efficiency and the Ministry of Power is getting going to that mandate to make this particular scheme. So the prices definitely will depend on the supplier, the number of suppliers and the number of buyers. So the obligated entities or the obligated sectors, the government will do start. So government need to create a very well established system or scheme, emission trading scheme, so that the market will not get over supplied. If it will get oversupplied, then obviously the rates will be super low. And if it's balanced, then the market will remain very much competitive. So it depends on actually the government decision, who will be the buyer, who will be the seller, and what would be the volume that will come into the national emission trading scheme. And this way, and this concept used to get placed very well there at EETS and with Korea ETS also. So again, it depends on the regulatory body, how they will formulate this emission trading scheme during the initial years. So as of our information, India's emission trading scheme, they will launch the terms and conditions or the forms and procedures and complete policy. They will get launched in next 1 year timeline. For next 3 years, it will be voluntary nature. And after that, it may get converted into the mandatory status as of our information, which is considering the public information which is available. Although in the near future, Government of India may declare the complete plan, and then we'll be able to comment how the market will get structured to become a very successful emission trading scheme in India.
Okay, thank you. That was an acceptable answer given the very cloudy and insufficient information we have at this time. My next question is on our valuation, on the stock valuation. Though mm-hmm. I understand that management's focus will be on running the business very efficiently and should not be focused on the price of the stock and valuation of the company. Creating shareholder value is also a equally important component of the board of directors. I find that, in this buoyant market in India, our price earnings ratio is something like 12 or 13 or something like that, very, very low. I am aware that such low valuation is given to companies only if markets think that our business is not sustainable in a long run. I'm just saying what markets may be thinking. I'm not saying that's what our company is. Or maybe markets may think that this is, after all, at the end of the day, this is a consulting industry, and you have global big four, and at any point they may just come and conquer the market, pushing our company to maybe third, fourth, or fifth, or sixth spot. So possibly market is thinking there is a lot of competition. Now, what is the senior management and the board thinking about, how sustainable we are going to make this business? How are we going to compete with the big four? Or is there any thinking that we can cooperate with the big four? Any such thought, Mr. Dapkara?
Yeah, so if you see the global carbon market under voluntary segment or the compliance segment under the Paris Agreement to cap 1.5 degree centigrade temperature capping, we need around 58 billion tons of carbon dioxide emission reduction from the atmosphere on per annum basis. For example, through the implementation of national determined contribution document that had been placed by all the nations, specifically individually, you can say. So, for example, if all those NDCs would get implemented, then almost we do foresee around 60-70% of the target the nations will do meet by their own, and 20-30% will be the requirement of the carbon credit that will happen. So if you do consider, say, 58 billion tons and 30%, so around 20 billion carbon credits would be required on per annum basis in next 1 to 5 years timeline on per annum basis. Considering this super high market size or the number of credits which are required to meet the Paris Agreement target, as of now, as you know, during last financial year, we had developed around 87 million carbon credits, and year on year basis, we will be then developing specific growth in the reference to the volume of these credits. So we do not foresee, like, the market is very small, and if, for example, Big Four or other international companies will do come in India. So specifically, we are not working in India, but we are working in 16 nations. So all those, the potential risks related to the high growth of the competition or potential competitor is able to come, that either we need to share, we need to lose our market share. The market share means the business market share. So we do foresee that is not going to happen, because 20 billion carbon credits is per annum. If you see, during last 15 years in our carbon credit industry, less than 10 billion carbon credits had been developed and being traded globally in the CDM, VCS or GS or DCT markets, these specifically standard. So we do not foresee that there would be very high risk for us, or very high problem for us in long-term sustainability of the organization. So our main core work is the comprehensive advisory services that we do provide, starting from document collection up to revenue realization. And there are super, there is very large number of sectors within the economy or internationally within other developing nations. Like, we have more than, you see, around 150 nations are there, which comes under developing nation category. We are working in only 16 nations. So, and specifically, we are working in the renewable energy, energy efficiency sector. Now we are working slowly and slowly to the NBS, nature-based solution sector, and community-based sector. So, the exploitation of the carbon credits under various sectors, under various geographies, are being untapped. And this Paris Agreement had brought a very, very big opportunity for the companies like us to grow at the very, very, very high pace. So we do not foresee any sort such similar kind of risk because of the competition, because the market size is very, very large.
Sorry to interrupt. May I request Mr. Vedri Raju to please rejoin the queue? We have participants waiting for the turn.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Faisal Hawa from SG Hawa & Company. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Since I'm new to the call, can you just give a brief history of how we evolved over the last 17 years, and what were it we were doing previous to this, which was related to climate change or even, you know, carbon credit? That's one. Second is that what happens is in stock markets, and particularly the listed markets, when many participants or many holders are not able to understand the business model of the company, and yet the company keeps on giving good numbers, many participants, with absolute due respect to you, tend to believe that the company's numbers are not really in order. So is it, can we in some way, undertake a small buyback or a small dividend, or more so a buyback actually to really, gain confidence straight up, right at the beginning of our, main exchange listing?
So such kind of suggestion, definitely we will do bring this suggestion to our board, and let's see how this specific decision would be taken, since it's a high growth sector for us. And the company that is the initial thought that I can comment is the company need to develop multi-million carbon credits, and since the market has just started. So the best thing is to reinvest whatever the revenue that we are generating within the business. So, but still, we will do consider whatever the best actions that the board should take to create high confidence within the investor community.
Can you just give a brief history of how we have evolved into this international carbon credits, and to the extent that we now have a JV with Shell, and are there more such JVs that we can, we are talking to people with, and is there a chances that we can be doing some more JVs same way?
So we are considering the continuous high growth. We are looking for all such kind of similar opportunities, and at any once specific opportunity will get materialized, definitely we will make the public disclosure for the same. The second thing related to the history of our carbon market, so the whole carbon market had got started during year 2005 with the enforcement of Kyoto Protocol. Under the Kyoto Protocol, as you know, all developed nations had been made responsible that they should reduce the emissions, and if they are not able to reduce, then they are allowed to buy the credits originally from the developing nations. And that particular mechanism, we call it as the clean development mechanism. So that particular market had started from 2005, ended during 2020. Then again from 1 January 2021, we are into the Paris Agreement era, under which all developing or developed nations or small nations or big nations are now obligated to reduce the emissions to cap global temperature rise to 1.5 degrees centigrade, and which that means should not be more than 2 degrees centigrade. To achieve this target of capping 1.5 degrees centigrade temperature cap global temperature rise, all the nations had submitted a document called as National Determined Contribution Document, under which they have mentioned how each nation is going to achieve their target to reduce the emissions. And if they are not able to achieve, then they can buy and sell the credits to meet their NDC commitments under or through Article 6 of the Paris Agreement. So this is the whole international treaties that I have talked about you. So this is one segment. Second segment is the domestic emission trading schemes. So to meet the targets under this Paris Agreement or maybe Kyoto Protocol, nations used to formulate or establish a domestic carbon market. So in India also, we are going to have such kind of similar domestic carbon markets. And the third stream is the voluntary, international voluntary markets. So as of now, for any credit which is being originated from any developing nation, the majority of the credits, more than 95% of the credits, used to get consumed under the international voluntary markets. So that VCM, voluntary carbon markets, last year the market size was around $1 billion. By 2030, it is expected or anticipated that it will be around $50 to $100 million. So that is only one market. Again, then domestic carbon market for Article 6.2 and 6.4 market under the Paris Agreement. So these are the four different markets which are upcoming, will to create very big market opportunity for the companies like us to grow, to provide advisory services, to identify the projects or to educate the obligated entities who are looking to reduce the emissions, to offer the energy efficient technology or renewable energy technology, and whatever the non-avoidable emissions are there, which they cannot avoid, which they cannot reduce, they cannot optimize, they buy carbon credits which are being originated nationally or internationally. So this is how the whole carbon market used to work.
And sir, will we ever look at, you know, since we are constantly growing at, you know, expanding equity also through any kind of QIP or preference or allotment to big investors?
So as of now, whatever the funds we do have internally, so as of now, whatever the funds which we have internally are quite sufficient for the business growth that we are looking in coming few years, and so we look forward to work or grow with the internal funds only.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Meet Sangoy from Prabhudas Lilladhar. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. And congratulations, Mohit ji, Manish ji, and team for a very good set of numbers. My first question is regarding voluntary markets in India, and you have mentioned a bit about this already. So the Bureau of Energy Efficiency has already proposed a phased approach to develop carbon markets in India, which will mainly start with the development of voluntary carbon markets first. Now, how will that directly impact our business in terms of, specifically in terms of volumes and margins, and also competition? You have highlighted about competition, but does this directly also impact competition in a way that other players come in given the opportunity? And how do you look at the development of Indian markets for your business?
Yeah, so we do anticipate that under the national carbon markets for next 2-3 years, it would be voluntary nature. So that means voluntary nature means there would not be obligation for the potential compliant companies to buy the credit during the initial few years. But obviously, they will do try to buy and test the whole market. So since we do develop credits originally from developing nations and do sell the credits to the developed nations, so for the sellers, like we do have various clients in India, in China. In China also there is the similar emission trading scheme is there. So for the sellers, it's their choice. Either if they want to sell within Indian market or in the international carbon market. So whosoever market will do pay high, they would be very open to supply the credit. So for our clients also, if we will be able to get higher prices in the domestic market, definitely we will do sell here. Otherwise, we will do sell in the international carbon market. So since, as you say, it's a voluntary carbon market, the name is also, or the name also mentions it's a voluntary one, or you can say now in the you see in our markets now voluntary word is very well going to get replaced with the verified carbon market, because for the companies who are now obligated with their ESG pledges that they have taken, that they want to become carbon neutral company, that they want to become net zero company without having the statutory compliance over them from their nation, so they buy this voluntary carbon credits to meet their ESG requirements or their commitments or the pledges that they have signed with the various international bodies like United Nations or maybe IMF or, for example, other public institutions. So we do not foresee that there would be any conflict while the sellers or our clients would be having two different options to sell the credits at the domestic market or at the international market.
Got it. Thanks for that. And just, I don't know if I've missed it, but just some granular details from the quarter. What was the total number of credits that you've sold in this quarter? And does the guidance for this year remain the same at around 105 to 110 million credits?
Yes, so around 20 million credits we had supplied to the buyer community during last quarter. And we are well on track, because quarter one and quarter four used to remain weaker as compared to quarter two and quarter three. So definitely we are on track to achieve the goals that we have decided for this year.
Got it, thanks. And just one last one on the margin side. So we decent margin performance in terms of the 28% that we have clocked in this quarter. Going forward, assuming a global slowdown that is kind of happening right now, do we foresee margins at current levels? And if carbon markets were to see a slight decline, carbon prices have to see a slight decline, what would be your guidance for margins for this year and a steady state level of margins going forward?
Yes, so as you know, this war, Russia-Ukraine war, had got started during quarter four of last financial year and this quarter one also. So definitely there is an impact within the voluntary carbon market, because for the organizations, the first priority is to cope up with the high energy prices, and definitely then the pledges that they have signed to become a carbon neutral company or net zero company is the second priority. Before war also, that was the similar one, because the production is very important for any organization, and then the other pledges that they have signed comes at the second scene. So during quarter four and during quarter one, we do not foresee any super impact over the top line and bottom line, and during next two quarters and during next financial year also, we do not see any big impact over the voluntary carbon markets globally.
Got it. So do we have any ballpark in terms of the steady state margins that we're targeting?
So our main focus is to generate the volumes, the number of carbon credits, and with the intent to maintain all the numbers that the steady growth that we had showcased during last 5 quarters. So we do foresee that we would be we are targeting to maintain the similar growth figures.
Got that. Thanks, Manji.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mudita from Abacus Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, just a couple of questions. Sir, on the revenue side, if I see quarter on quarter, it's grown by 7%. So how much would be attributable to the volume side and how much would be to the pricing side, sir?
So volume, the prices during last financial year, if you see the prices in the voluntary carbon markets were the highest as compared to the last 5-6 years. During this financial year, the prices we had observed that they are oscillating because of this high energy prices within the European Union. So the prices. So I commented over the prices and over the volume. So 20 million carbon credits we had supplied during the last financial year. The main focus used to be there over the supplying the volumes, while the prices definitely we go with the international movement related scene.
So that means quarter on quarter there is some impact on the pricing side, sir, is it?
So the prices, if you see why the prices will do get impacted, because if the number of sellers are more as compared to the number of buyers, then the prices definitely are going to get impacted because of this buyer supplier and the quantum or the volume that may impact, because if there is a very high logic, if the number of sellers are more, then the number of buyers and the prices will go down, and if the buyers are high and the number of sellers are low, then the price will go up. If you see the commitments that had been taken by various international companies to become a net zero company or the carbon neutral company, so the high number of companies are signing such kind of pledges. Various countries are now implementing their domestic carbon markets. They are implementing their, they are updating their national determined contribution documents, and still the Article 6 is going to create a very big demand under the compliance and voluntary market. So all these factors showcase us that in the near future the number of buyers will be the number of buying commitment will be very high, and then again we'll be able to see the actual scenario in the near future.
And sir, though our revenue has grown up sequentially by 7%, EBITDA has actually degrown. So any flavor on that, on the expenses side, sir?
I request Mohit to answer over his specific question.
Hi, Mohit sir. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, sir.
Hello. Yeah. Can you repeat the question?
Sir, I'm saying sequentially our revenue has grown up by 7%, but our EBITDA has actually degrown by 2%. So any color on that, sir? Why?
2% EBITDA margin has been reduced on account of salary hike. First thing, if you will see our cost of employee, we are an asset-light company, and our employee cost has grown up because of hike given in April month, and we have hired few people outside India as well as in India also, right? On account of that, that cost has increased, as well as there are some price on supplier side also where we have been negotiated. That has impacted. Overall impact has been given around 2 and 2.5%.
Okay, so thank you. That's it from my side.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Rita.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants, please limit your questions to 2 per participant. If you have a follow-up question, you may rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Nirav Dalal from MIB Securities India. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. I had two questions. One is in terms of the cooking stove business, any details in terms of any change in the order book? You were earlier spoken about the $20 million order book from Vitol. So anything on that? And the second
Mr. Dalal, may I request you to please speak a little louder, sir?
Yeah, am I audible?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, okay. So first question is on the cooking stove business. Last quarter you had spoken about an order book of 200 crores. So any change in that? And the second question is, I believe you've done that with Vitol, and Vitol would be using these or distributing these cooking stoves in Africa. So I just wanted to understand, is there any opportunity in India per se, and are there any new contracts that you signed there?
Yeah, so that specific $20 million contract you have signed, which you have signed with Vitol, the distribution area is in India only, not Africa. And we are in conversation with a good number of investors, project level investors in India and abroad. And so in near quarters, we would be having good size orders from such kind of project investors.
Got that. And no further addition to that order book, right, at the moment?
Yeah, so that order book is also like the production capacity versus distribution. So that number also is very high, like 200 crore project size, for example, or 150 crore project size is that means it takes some 3 to 6 months timeline to execute such kind of projects. So to take more orders to increase the similar number of projects, we are now enhancing the production capacity, and once it will be there in line, we would be getting a good number of the big or small or medium scale orders from various project level investors.
So the contract here is for 700,000 stoves, or it is for more than that?
Yeah, so that specific information is specifically that means since we have signed NDA with the client, it would be tough to share some detailed information about those numbers. But yes, I can only comment over the good number of orders which are there in the pipeline related to this specific sector of the business which we are doing.
Sure. And the second question is with regard, so 6.2 also talks about corresponding adjustment. So would that restrict the, cross-border transactions in terms of carbon credits generated in India? The Indian government might say that, okay, we have our NDC, so should we allow that to happen? So are you foreseeing anything of this sort, and what are your comments on this?
So we do not foresee any problem related to the corresponding adjustment under Article 6.2 or under Article 6.4 of the Paris Agreement. Under the voluntary carbon market, if we are selling any carbon credit originated from India, and if any German buyer is here or Spanish buyer is there, so whosoever voluntary buyers are there, they do not use to record such kind of purchasing of or buying of credit to achieve their net zero emission goals or carbon neutrality goals. So they do not report the same to the, for example, Spanish government or German government. And if they do not report, then there is no any concern related to the corresponding adjustment, because such kind of credits, if are being originated from India, and if two nations are mentioning the same carbon credit in their emission register system or inventory, then there would be issue related to the corresponding adjustment. That means only one book, only one emission registry system can book that particular specific carbon credit which are being generated from any developing nation or developed nation. So under the voluntary market, during COP26 last year, it had been made very clear that there is no requirement for corresponding adjustment under the voluntary carbon market, but specifically if you see for 6.2 or 6.4, yes, corresponding adjustments are required, because such kind of carbon credits will be used by nations to meet their national determined contribution pledges that they have signed to meet the Paris Agreement goal of 1.5 degree centigrade temperature goal. So definitely such kind of corresponding adjustment requirements would be required under the Article 6.2 and 6.4. And so any nation till date, including India, had not declared their position, which kind of projects they will do allow to be get traded under Article 6.2 and 6.4, but in specifically under the voluntary carbon markets. Globally, we had not foresee any issue after this COP26, which had happened during November 21. So we do not foresee any such kind of potential conflicts between the two markets.
Right, right. Just one small follow-up on this. Now that even India is coming up with a national carbon market, and as you clearly said that it will be voluntary in the first 3 years. So do you see that, if not now, but in the coming years, the Indian government or say the African government might look at restrictions on this?
For the voluntary markets, for any seller, either if they will do sell in the domestic carbon market or the international carbon market, voluntarily, wherever they would be able to get the best price, the sellers would be interested to sell the credits. So we do not foresee any such kind of restriction under the voluntary market. But if, for example, if anything will do come, that means related to the domestic compliance market, for the domestic compliance credit, definitely the government will use all those credits to meet their NDC targets. But those compliance credits can also take benefit of the voluntary carbon markets if the rates are super low as compared to the international carbon market prices.
Perfect. And what would be the inventory at the end of the quarter? Last quarter it was about 8 million. So if you would wish to share the number this quarter.
So during this quarter, it's around 13.26 million credits are there in the books.
The inventory. Okay. Thanks a lot. Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Chandak from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. You know, I had a basic question. So, you know, when you take these carbon credits on your books, there is obviously an inherent price risk which is there. So if I just look at your revenues, for example, 1800 crores in FY22, how much of this is just pure consulting and how much of this is pure trading on your books?
So since our business model is related to the providing comprehensive advisory services, starting from document collection, then getting the registrations, then getting the verifications, and ultimately get the credits on our books and supply to the international carbon market. So we do not, and we work under the revenue sharing model, either at the gross level, gross revenue, net revenue, or sharing of carbon credits. So it's a comprehensive advisory services which we give under the revenue sharing model. So we do not separate make different streams of the revenue. Since it's a whole stream, there's a bunch of services, the stream of services we do provide to our clients under the comprehensive business model. So we do not segregate such kind of revenues out of different streams because we do investments to pay for the auditors, for paying registration fee, issuance fee, and various different expenses.
Frankly, what I'm trying to understand is, you know, what is the risk to a particular year's or a quarter's revenue and, you know, profit estimates? For example, if a significant portion of the revenues is purely on account of trading of carbon credits which are on your books, then naturally there is a price risk. You know, I mean, longer term all will be good, but say for, you know, in a near term, for 6 months, 1 year, there could be some price destruction which could be there in the carbon credit market. So how would that impact your P&L is what I'm trying to understand. And hence this question of what portion of revenues actually comes from trading and how much portion of revenues actually comes from proper consulting services. It becomes a very important question, frankly, for a shareholder.
Definitely. So usually we do keep this inventory for 30 to 60 days within our books. And within that specific period, we used to supply or we used to replace those credits with a new inventory which are being generated internally or being procured externally. So since our market, the policy changes that used to happen within our market used to happen annually after this COP or any new international treaty or similar formation of some domestic carbon markets if they are happening. So because of this one or two event, only the new things or the new composition of the market used to come. And so the prices used to remain not subjected to very high fluctuation of the prices in very short period. So that is considering that particular specific
prices remain flat, for example, say for the next 1 year, there will logically
not for one year, for around 3 to 5 months the prices used to remain
if it is flat, for example, theoretically, then there will be no growth, corresponding growth in the revenues. Is that right?
Yes. So our main focus
growth basically on the how much trade in, trade out.
Definitely. Our main focus is to generate volumes, and the prices used to get definitely being defined by the global carbon markets.
Slightly more riskier business model by itself, because, you know, I mean, if a big chunk of the P&L is dependent on pure trading of credits, then inherently it's a lot more riskier business model itself, right?
See, trading of credits means we are not giving any advisory services. We are not, and we are buying the credit from the market and selling the same to the market. So such kind of, the minority of our business used to remain into such kind of stuff, while majority of the revenue comes from the comprehensive advisory services. Under the comprehensive advisory services, we do have two different models. One is the fixed pricing model and otherwise a floating one. So majority of the business that we do sign under the comprehensive advisory services under the revenue sharing model used to remain on the floating business model. So that means whatever the best price we will be able to get from the market, we will be that particular specific rate on the project-to-project basis or rate-to-credit basis for our clients, so for our project investors or the project owners who had invested for the projects, which we call as the carbon trade projects. So, so we do have our internal risk policy related to the two different model contracts that we do sign. One is the fixed pricing model and one is the floating pricing model. And since majority of the credits are being related to floating pricing model, and so that is why we are less prone to such kind of super high risks.
Understood. And just one last question, you know, like you have these, you know, so to say, green cooking stoves, would you get into more such products which are, you know, eco-friendly, or you know, or would you restrict only to this one particular product, or would you expand this offering into several other products as a?
Yeah, so we have plans to provide a similar kind of projects that we are doing really cook show, not only in India or in Southeast Asia, while in Africa or Latin America, we have also planned to expand our services to deploy similar kind of projects that is cook show. Now, further, the other community-based projects like LEDs or maybe water filters or similar technologies which are there, which are being very well accepted in the buyer community and at the standard with which we used to work. So yes, we do have a plan in terms of addition of new technologies and addition of new geographies for similar kind of community-based projects.
And so this would not be like a B2C brand? Regular consumer B2C brand under which you would launch these products, or this would be more the community route which you're talking about?
I'm not able to understand your question.
So what I mean is, like, for example, would you retail these products, you know, would launch it under a brand and retail it to the, you know, end consumer as a you know, as a
startup? No, as of now, as per the present business model, we distribute all these kind of technologies free of cost to the rural communities. And
but what I'm trying to understand is, ask is that, would you want to commercially you know, sell these products to, say, the end retail consumer, the end consumer at large? You know,
as of now, we do not have,
for example, under your own brand. Would you look to get into that kind of a business, is what I'm trying to understand?
Yeah, as of now, we do not have such kind of plan, because the internal consumption or the internal requirement for such kind of technology is very high as compared to the production capacity that we do have. Once we do have the overproduction capacity as compared to the internal requirement, we may think for the same, but as of now, we are highly concentrating to develop similar kind of projects across various geographies and technologies.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Swarnim Maheshwari from Edelweiss Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Manish, just wanted to better understand, there is a likely rollout of carbon trading in India finally. So your thoughts on same, and also the fact that, you know, is the infrastructure in place for the launch? And would it be accompanied by a dedicated exchange? How do we actually look at that aspect?
Yes, so during the last few questions, I had mentioned the Energy Conservation Act 2001 is going to get amended to become 22, the Energy Conservation Act 22, and under which government will do create a framework under that particular act to establish a domestic carbon market. Now, Bureau of Energy Efficiency under Ministry of Power will get mandate through that particular act to establish a domestic carbon market, and so all the nitty-gritty policy procedures that specific thing is under the formation stage. So by December of this calendar year, the first draft may come. Thereafter, in next 5-6 months, after getting all the stakeholder comments, the final rollout of the voluntary carbon market will be there in place. While working for next 1-3 years under the voluntary regime, it will then get converted into the compliance one, because any such kind of emission capping to the Indian emitting sectors or manufacturing sectors, it would be super tough for them to cope up. So for initial few years, it will be voluntary nature. So it will help them to understand the whole scheme and their low carbon pathway. And after that, it may be converted into the compliance scheme. Once all these things will do be there in place, so if you see under EU ETS or under Korea ETS, there are two types of different trading mechanisms would be there. Either one is to trade through exchange, or another one will be the OTC. So it depends how this regulatory body, Bureau of Energy Efficiency, or this new policy which is going to get in place, will do formulate all such kind of policies. And so in next 1-3 years timeline, you would be able to comment how this whole structure of or the framework of domestic carbon market will take its own shape and size.
Got it. So, okay, so just to understand this, it's not that the rollout is going to happen in the next 1 or 2 months. It is going to take about at least about 2-3 quarters before it actually gets rolled out, and the rollout will start from the voluntary side.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And
unlike in China and Korea, where you see it's on the compulsory side, we will actually start on the voluntary side.
Yeah, so as of now, the public information which is available at the Bureau of Energy Efficiency website, they mentioned that it would be voluntary nature for the initial few years. But maybe after getting passed through the parliament, maybe Indian government may plan for the mandatory scheme during initial years for a few of the sectors. As of now, we would not be able to comment specifically, because the law is not there in place and the policies are there under the development stage. So that is only the anticipation based on the public information which is available.
Fair enough, Manish. Well, thank you so much. Yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mrs. Swarni Maheshwari for closing comments.
Yeah, thanks to Mr. Manish and Mr. Mohit for such an elaborative Q&A session. Thank you so much for your insights. Manish, would you have a closing comment over here?
Yeah, so the closing comment I have already covered in my last initial conversation. So thank you very much, everyone, to attend the call. And we look forward for the super exciting journey of net zero emission under the Paris Agreement within India and globally with the formation of five different carbon markets in the near future. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Edelweiss Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you.